Talking News Podcast, Episode 9. I'm Rebecca.
I'm Colin.
And I'm Spike.
And apologies if we have even more background noise than just buses and lorries passing than we normally do. There's not only one, but two building sites outside my flat.
So if you're stalking Colin and trying to figure out where he lives, it's more information for your attacking file.
Or if you're rich and you've got lots of money, you can buy us an office.
Oh, or buy us some studio time. That would be even better. I mean, there's a place down towards Camden that does it.
Awesome cake.
Yeah, we could do that. I mean, we've got prawn crackers and some other stuff, so...
Yeah, we've got, in fact, the noisiest snacks you can possibly eat during a podcast.
We might have to save them for afterwards.
Possibly.
Right, so should we head into our sort of news section?
Yes.
So I normally head up. Right, so starting off with some licenses.
Hooray!
Yes, and straight away, also, to start off the podcast proper... even though I got foam over Spike... Or beer foam.
Beer foam. Beer foam, yes. Is good.
Yes, we've got our favourite company, Aniplex.
Woo! Are they doing a solid gold box set?
Possibly not, but they're actually going to put out the first and second theatrical Madoka films at the end of July.
Ooh, and how much are they charging for those?
The price wasn't in there, unfortunately.
Oh, so price on request?
Yeah, although, I mean, they're putting out in the standard and collector's edition format.
Okay, so there might be a decent price.
Yeah, they're both together, and I think they're both also going to have the, not character commentary, voice cast commentary. Whether they're doing it in character or not is another thing. Which would be interesting if they do.
Yep.
Terrifying if they do.
It wouldn't be the first show to do it, but this is one for your drinking game if you're playing along at home. But Bakemonogatari and Nisseimonogatari had character-styled commentary with actual lines written by the guy that wrote the original light novels.
I heard there's a new series coming out.
Yes, in the summer, and they're doing the rest of the series. They're doing all the rest of the books.
So we'll eventually get to Pokemonogatari.
Your face after you said that. Worth it for that.
Been working on that for 3 weeks.
Also, out in the UK, doesn't say which company is it, but Cat Planet Cuties is being brought out, aka Asobi no Ikkyo. Oh, June 10th. I've neglected to write down who's bringing it out, so it's probably Manga or MVM.
Yeah. I don't know who retitled it so badly, but it should be We Came to Play.
Yeah. I mean, alright show, nothing special. But...
I know, but I mean, Cat Planet Cuties does kind of put it right out there, doesn't it?
Well, it is kind of that kind of...
It's busty cat girls from space.
Yeah. Whether the DVD versions or whatever you have more than they put in the TV show, because I don't recall anything that bad in the TV show. Like proper nudity or anything.
No, it's just bouncy, basically.
Yeah.
ADV would be so proud.
Some US ones now. Funimation have picked up the streaming rights, to Toro Kagaku no Railgun S, which is the new Railgun series, which is currently airing in Japan at the moment. And it's set before Index started.
Right.
Because this sees the current arc that's on at the moment is Misaka finding out about all the clones.
Yeah.
So obviously Accelerator is probably going to come in there as well. And so I'm really looking forward to that soon develop.
Yep.
Looks awesome. And they've also picked up the home DVD and Blu-ray rights to Psycho Pass.
Which is brilliant.
Yeah, I really like that series. And actually, the director was at SakuraCon recently and said if there's enough interest, they'll be looking into a second series.
Brilliant, because it's got a kind of Ghost in the Shell vibe about it, hasn't it?
Oh, very much so. I really liked it. Or really liked the first series, so
yeah.
Hopefully some more. Right, stuff we've got Gundam UC. Oh. You're more of a Gundam guy than I am, Spike.
Universal Century. Expect more whiny fanboys in next.
I bet, because this one, they're going to start releasing it in August, and it's actually the Blu-rays are released in Japan and North America simultaneously.
All right.
Which
is going to be, what, two episodes per Blu-ray?
Yep.
If it's standard Japanese style?
It's two episodes per Blu-ray. They're going to finish up in spring 2014 with the seventh and final episode with extras as the last release.
It's the kind of nonsense that Bandai used to do, and then... No one bought their stuff, and then they stopped.
Well, no, they looked like they were going to put it. There was a couple of shows I tried to pilot that with, wasn't it? One of them, I just can't remember either of them. But they got like to within 2 weeks of putting them out, and then just they disappeared off the map, sort of thing.
Yep.
But I mean, Right Stuff are a pretty big company. They've been around a while. I mean, I know that seems silly to say that because even like when ADV and Tokyo Pop can go under, there's just no safety anymore.
No.
Really, so, I mean, obviously. That might have been part of the deal that they had. They had to, like,
well, that's what I'm worrying, that they're forcing them into it when it might not be the best move.
Yeah. But if people are big enough Gundam fans, then going to be on forum. Then Sentai have licensed a load of stuff that's all actually airing this season.
Right. So they're doing what they did when they were ADV and just license all the things.
Well, yeah, they've got Samurai Bride, which is the sequel to...
Something Quentin Tarantino did?
Kakarou and Samurai Girls.
Oh, right.
That's the continuation. Yushiki, which is a slice of life comedy, which is actually pretty good. It's in the same, or the manga's in the same anthology as like K-On! And Hidemari Sketch. So that kind of gives you a ballpark of where it's going.
Yep.
The Severing Crime Edge, don't know anything about. Devil Survivor 2, which is a...
Sequel to Devil Survivor 1?
Yeah, but it's also part of the Shin Megami Tensei universe, which is what Persona's in.
Oh, so one for you then.
Yes, and I have been watching it, and it's quite good so far. There's the Hentai Prince and the Stony Cat.
Yes.
Which is pretty good.
That is a very good show.
Yeah, just it's not about a complete pervert. It's this guy finds a cat god in this weird like lone tree up on the top of a hill, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he tries to get rid of his facade because he wants to be more truthful. At the same time, a girl tries to get rid of her emotions because she feels she's too emotional. And then...
it basically messes up, and then they have to try and find out who their emotions went to and try and get them back.
Yeah, because they realise that they actually want them back and want to be the way they were.
That's a good show.
Yeah, manga news. Yen Press have licensed quite a few titles. There's Inuboku SS, which was made into an anime a couple of seasons ago, about a young little girl that's got this weird butler and it all goes a bit mystical. That was pretty good, actually. Then there's How I Look At It, It's Your Guy's Fault I'm Not Popular.
Longest title of the season?
Well, no, because there is quite a few that are all like the ones with the brother involved, and all really long titles as well. This one's about some weird looking girl with like long black hair and stuff. Never heard about it, really, so.
The worst one ever has to be Anna Hannah. Let's see if Colin can do the whole title.
If it was written down in front of me, I can, but, well, I'd give it a go. But that Anna Hannah's actually coming up later on.
Right. So we'll see if we can get you to do it later.
Well, if I write it out, then I'll give it a go. But there's also Wolf Children, Ame and Yuki, which is an adaptation of a film. And they've also got the 4 volumes of the Kingdom Hearts manga. For if people, I mean, Kingdom Hearts is a pretty popular show, so.
Wasn't that originally put out by Tokyo Pop, or is this another series of...
It'll
be Yen Press,
so
it'll actually be nice.
Oh, hopefully. And also for licenses, the game, I don't know if it's actually, I think it's more based in the universe, but the Black Rock Shooter game that's available on the PSP, you can actually download from the European PSN now for $15.99.
Wow, that's surprising.
Yeah, it's been properly localized, and also that means if you've got a Vita, you can download it as well. Which is weird, because if you try and download it from the shop, the PSN on the Vita, you can't find it. But if you go and look it up on the PS3, it's there. So.
Weird.
Yeah, now if you want to have a go at that, I'm sure it'd be alright. At least you're not paying full whack for it as well.
Fair enough.
Right, so this is the really long list I've got, is some sequels and some new shows been announced.
Announced.
I'm going to have to leave that in now, because otherwise it won't make sense if I edit it. Right, first one up, Silver Spoon. You guys heard of this?
That's a brand of sugar, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's sugar.
It's also the what the Fullmetal Alchemist manga did next.
Oh!
Ooh.
Yeah, it's about her life, or her character's life on the farm. It's being directed by the same person that did Sword Art Online and the Cult Academy. And it's going to be animated by A1 Pictures. So, good pedigree so far. And it's due out in July.
That's something to look forward to then.
Yes, in the Noita Minna slot. Also, the new series of Hire and Yariko-san W that's been going on.
Yes.
Apparently, out in Japan, this is, if you collect all the DVDs or all the Blu-rays, you're going to get like a token or something to redeem in for an extra episode.
Also, you'll be very broke.
Yeah, because box of DVDs and that do cost a lot out in Japan. Same, well, not quite the same, but Minami K is going to get a new anime episode bundled with the 11th volume of the manga.
Okay.
Which is good, because I really like Minami K. There's something that Spike's obviously just looking at on top of...
Next item!
Yes, well, when I initially wrote this was like over a month ago, and the future of the Infinite Stratus new anime hadn't been decided.
Yes.
There was some news that it was going to be a remake. There was some news that it was going to be a sequel. Now it looks like it's actually going to be a sequel. And how do you deal with a horror mech show for a sequel? Add more girls in.
It's got my vote.
I'll definitely be watching, because I really like the first Infinite Stratus.
Strange still in that, I prefer the mech fighting to the the actual harem bit.
Yeah, I can see that.
So I thought the mech design was actually fairly interesting.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed both equally. I liked some of the girls, well, most of the girls, and then I liked the mech, so. So good. Another one, Kuroko no Basuke, the one that's been the cause of many fan events having to shut down because people keep trying to bomb them.
Yes.
That's going to get another season.
Why? You think they would just quietly retire that show for a bit?
Well, I don't think anything's happened to, like, the ongoing manga or anything, so.
Good on
them. In fact, its fans are absolutely blinking insane.
Yeah.
I like the way they're not bowing to pressure from idiots.
Well, no, because they did remove Kuroko no Basuke and goods from Comiket.
Yes, they did. But
so they have been bowing to some of the pressure.
But hasn't stopped it getting a new series.
Yeah, obviously it is popular enough to warrant that. A couple of movies. One that I think both of these seem kind of redundant. One, first up, there's an Idolmaster movie being made.
Based on what?
Well, there was a 26 episode anime, and they've just recently finished a.
Oh, okay, so it's based on the anime series. I wonder, because they've got a manga. And
they've also, on Niku Niku Dover, I believe, it was a 3-minute episode that ran for 60 episodes called Pucci Master. It was all like super deformed versions of the characters interacting with the normal versions of the characters. But it was all done in a very super deformed style.
Yeah.
Which, if you liked the characters, then that's worth a watch, but. Don't know how many people actually bother watching the original series. So that's getting a film. And there is also a film of Anna Hanna.
Oh.
Yeah, but this one apparently is going to be told from members' point of view.
Okay.
For those that don't know the series, this guy that's kind of in high school that has drifted out of it, you find out that there was this big group of childhood friends. One of them died in an unfortunate accident and they all sort of drifted apart. Then the kid gets to about, what, 15, 16, is he?
Yep.
Jintan, I think his name is, and then he starts seeing the ghost of this girl everywhere and, like, talking to her, and she's talking back, and then what they realise is that in order to send her to heaven, they have to sort of do or perform her final wish.
Yes.
And so, obviously, just going to be a film adaptation of that, which, considering the anime was only 11 episodes long, that's doable.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think, again, as with the anime series, bring a box of tissues for the end.
Yeah. Next up, we've got a new Madhouse show for summer called Kamisama no Ino Nichiyobi. I believe I pronounced that correctly. Probably haven't. But it's a fantasy show done by Madhouse, which is pretty cool.
Okay.
Do you like JRPGs? Do you like them with bouncy girls in them? Do you like them with subpar RPG elements? Then you've probably been playing Hyper Dimension Neptunia.
Yes, actually, I have.
If you don't actually want the boring RPG element, you can just wait for the anime that's been announced.
Awesome!
This is one that's about the console wars, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
But in Japan, so there's loads of stuff we just won't get.
Probably, yeah. Alright, next up, Recorder to Random Souls, getting a third series. This is another one of those ones that's like 5 minutes an episode. The twist is that it's these high school and an infanter, but the infanter looks like he's like 25, yeah, and the high school girl looks like she's 10.
Mm.
It's really annoying because just as you're getting into the episode, it ends. And that's the problem with some of these 5-minute shows.
Yes,
so.
It is.
Then there's Servant X Service that's been announced, which is by the creator of Working, also known as Ragnaria, out in the West, which is about some government office workers in the Health and Welfare Division.
Health and safety? No!
Not as the health and warfare as I had initially written down on the piece of paper.
Yeah, those are kind of polar opposites,
yeah,
aren't they?
So imagine basically Working but changed to a government office. They've actually released some like trailers on YouTube that are like four coma trailers. It just seems very much as in that awful sense of humour.
Because let's face it, if it was a UK government office, it would be... Have you filled out Form 32B? Yes. Now you'll need a 53C, and you'll need to co-sign it with my manager.
By the way, you've been made redundant.
Kyoto Animation's Chunibyo is getting a second season.
Excellent.
Which should be good. My comment on this is as long as it doesn't go all kind of dark, the story. Which, that went massively downhill in the second season, but... I mean, this one, I mean, it's kind of an interesting choice for a second season. I'm guessing it's because it was so popular.
Hmm.
Because I thought the way, I obviously don't want to give anything away from the ending, but I thought it ended quite nicely and actually sort of kind of went, done.
That's nice to have that to happen.
Yeah, I mean, did you finish it, Spike? Or?
Which? Clown out of the after story.
No, Chunibyo.
Oh, Christ, no.
So you don't care?
No.
And also, the first trailer for the Persona 3 movie 1 has come out. Now, why? I mean, obviously, Persona 4 was over 26 episodes. And so why they're actually deciding to make this one into a series of films is anyone's guess. Because it's... I mean, I didn't do everything in the game, but I still clocked it at, like, just under 90 hours.
Maybe it's because it's older.
Possibly, yeah.
They actually felt like doing something new rather than going, let's do a Persona 4 film where it's...
Very possibly, yeah. So, but, I mean, I'm happy that they're making a Persona 3 film.
Yep.
And, on a side note of that, Persona 4 Arena has finally come out in Europe.
Hooray!
We've only been waiting 10 months since the Japanese and the US launch.
You're kidding, right?
No, I'm honestly not.
Do you know how long we had to wait for the Gekiganga OVA from the Desco?
That's years, but... I mean, it's pretty rare now for if a game doesn't ship sort of like worldwide at once, that you have to wait like a huge day. I'm sure there are other examples of that. I mean, especially back in the old like SNES days and that, you would be waiting like a year or two, but for it to happen now. At least we've got a soundtrack as compensation in with it.
It's all bundled in with a cardboard box inside.
Yeah.
So it's not... brilliant pack, but it's there, it exists, it's fun.
Yeah, I'm actually waiting now because I'm just about to start playing Persona 4 Golden on the Vita, so because there is actually, rather because it's a 2D fighting game, but there is a whole visual novel element to it that actually carries on all the storylines, so I'm super excited. I know you're looking going, don't care.
Sorry, to which series?
Persona 4.
Sorry, what?
Persona.
What?
4.
What?
Just trying to get everyone drunk.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm trying to do.
Yes, take a drink whenever I mention Persona.
What, sorry?
Shin Megumi Tensei.
See, it's his full name, yes. Oh, this is going to be a mess to edit. One that Spike will like, the world God only knows is getting the third series this summer.
Damn right. That was a brilliant show.
Well, you're getting more of it.
Excellent.
Whether you liked it or not. I don't have a date when it's actually coming out, but Kill the Kill, I'm really looking forward to already. Because it reunites the director of Gurren Lagann with the guy that created Gurren Lagann.
Sweet.
Yes. Don't care, I don't know any more about it, but that pedigree is good enough for me.
I think it's good enough for a lot of people.
Yes. Well, the new Hayao Miyazaki film got an interesting person playing the protagonist.
Oh, yes, this is absolutely amazing.
I know, it's Hideki Anno.
The messed-up creator of Evangelion.
Yes, so he's going to be doing his... I don't know if it's his debut, because I'm sure like there's like a rumour that he is somewhere in Ava.
There's a rumour he played a character in the Ava audio drama.
Ah, right. I really like that audio drama. Because it's where they basically... The ratings have been failing for Ava, so they have to tart it up. So they do Ava as a Sentai show.
Yeah.
Then they decide to do it as a love comedy, more school-based love comedy. They do it one where Pen starts talking and stuff. And
I don't think it's even the same audio drama I listen to, but...
Well, this is the one that I've watched, and I thought it was really funny. There's, if you like, Boku wa Tomochi ni Kasukenai, a.k.a. Haganai, which is a lot easier to say.
Yes.
They're making a live-action version of it.
Oh.
Yeah, even the creator of the light novels is like... Yeah, I don't think it's a good idea, but please don't sort of like send hate mail to the company because they're just trying to make some money, basically. I don't know, it didn't say that, or he or she, I don't know if it's male or female, but didn't say it in quite those words, but they did say don't send hate mail to the company. So, one not to pay attention to, basically. I mean, some live action versions have been alright. The Kimi Tokei one did grasp most of the characters.
For my Romo live action, it's pretty good.
And I've seen a little bit of the Phoenix Wright one.
Apparently that's very good.
Well, I saw it, but I really liked it, actually.
License it, please.
You might have to say that without your hands.
License it. I was trying to do subliminal messaging.
Can you do one for a third season for Index as well?
No, too much effort.
That's probably going to happen because they've got the film coming out. Well, the film that came out a couple months ago, so. So now they're back onto Railgun, then it's Index's turn again soon, so.
Excellent.
And the last one is the new Kyoto animation series has been unveiled, and it's about a bunch of boys doing swimming at school. I just like this.
Okay!
Yeah, because obviously Kyoto animation known for doing like K-On! And that sort of stuff.
Yes.
Featuring lots of girls. And this one, they put up some silhouettes on a website that kind of went, this is hinting at our new show. A lot of people put it together with silhouettes from the manga for the show. And then lots of people on the internet couldn't believe that they were doing one featuring an all-male cast, so they started sort of, like, desperately trying to find pictures of, like, Sasuke from Full Metal Panic in that pose and stuff. They just couldn't believe it.
Okay, how long am I going to stay away from 4chan?
Probably a while. Probably best you just don't go back there.
Yeah.
Japanese film ones related now, and I'm so excited for this. You should, Spike can probably see the string of expletives.
Yeah, would you please read that out aloud?
Basically, Ryo Kitamura has decided that he really wants to do Versus 2, and I'm so bloody happy for it. He's even actually going to be pulling it, or he wants to pull out the guy that played the original Dark Hero in the first one, because he's now retired from acting. And he's like, yeah, nah, if I do it, this guy's going to do it as well. So at some point soon, I get a sequel to my favourite film ever. And last up, we actually watched the trailer for this earlier on. It's a completely CG one. It's called Panopitzekion or something. It's a really weird spelling, but it's a anime-esque PlayStation game. I mean, I can show you the
Panopticon.
Yep, I'm going to go with that. Panopticon.
Well, it's a PlayStation title that's coming out. There's a CG trailer out on YouTube. Looks really cool.
I was cheating slightly there, because it actually, when you see the close-up of her eye, it says it like as if it was a Carl's Eyes logo up in it.
Ah, right. Yeah, no. It's all CG, looks very cool. It doesn't say whether it's for PS3, PS4, Vita, or what have you, but...
Well, we're geeks, we've got all of those.
Yeah, well, I do, so I probably will have by then. So, last up, a couple of bits of news on one of the sheets here. I've crossed half them out because they're old and don't need to be done anymore. But, a bit of sad news, the light novel author for Zero No Skyman sadly passed away of cancer. It's Noboru Yamaguchi, so...
Oh, condolences.
Hear about that, yeah. Condolences to the family, because he also only was able to publish 20 of the 22 planned novels as well. I'm guessing there are probably notes somewhere around, because he was keeping people updated on his like health status. He'd been in and out of hospital for several years with cancer, so very sad to hear about that. There's a Shonen Jump indoor theme park being made.
Hooray!
Where and when?
Where was it we went and saw the overfilm with Sunshine Cinema? Ikebukuro.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, it's an indoor one. It looked like when you went in, there was Dragon Ball in the middle.
Yeah.
I think it was One Piece to one side and Naruto to the other. But it looked like it was going to have some like restaurants and some little games and
when
stuff.
When does it open?
And probably a jump shop, I would have thought.
Probably, yeah. There was no information on that. It was just like this sort of stuff.
Is it going to be open this year?
It didn't say.
By September?
You're going to have to put it off for a year.
No!
And lastly, season finale to Oronomoto second, even though they don't seem to have changed the name for the second series. Very confusing. It's actually getting a worldwide launch, because what they're doing is there's actually 16 episodes in the series, but only 13 of them are being aired in the run. Then they're going to put out 14, 15, 16 either. They're looking at web streaming and satellite television. That's okay. The way they're looking at it, putting it out worldwide. Because it's meant to, I think the reason the last three episodes aren't coming out is because it's actually going to go up to the final volume of the light novel.
Okay.
And so, if that hasn't been done yet, probably can't animate it yet. It's nice that they're actually going to try and let everyone in on it, especially since they know that obviously Crunchyroll and that's sending it around, so...
It's quite globally minded.
Yeah.
More of that.
And that's all for news. Hi, and now for some reviews. First up, I'm going to talk a little bit about Straxxut Infinity, which is available now on Steam.
So it's some kind of video game.
Yes, it is a video game.
Is this our first video game review?
Well, I've talked about other video games before, so...
Yeah, but we weren't listening.
Yeah. And I wasn't listening anyway.
Joe definitely isn't.
No.
Right, it's a space combat game, which takes sort of two parts. There's the flying around, sort of almost Ace Combat-ish-esque. So it's all quite fast-paced. And then also you've got the ability to turn into a mech at the same time, which requires use of a power called Flux, which you get from shooting down enemy opponents. Now, it's a very straightforward game. It's just you get sent out of the main like hangar, and it's just defeat this wave, defeat this wave. Optional objectives come along. Oh, look, there's a big space freighter. If you can take it down, you get bonus points. So in that regard, very simple. Just there's, I believe, 16 waves in it. But then, given the price tag of $4.99, you don't expect that much. I mean, perfectly playable. I've been playing it with a 360 pad, and for the most part, good controls. My one quibble is with when I play sort of like flight sims, I have the horizontal axis inverted.
like you normally would. But then when I play shooter games, I don't have it inverted. And there isn't a way to distinguish that. You can either have it inverted or not. So I can either be really good when you turn into a mech to aim at people, or and then not fly, or I can fly and just be not good in the mech. Fortunately, in the mech, there is a lock-on button. So the idea is to wait until a load of enemies are in one big group, fly into the middle of it, transform into the mech, and just shoot them all down. So you can like use your thrusters and stuff to move out of the way of like, any missiles and stuff. It's pretty good fun, let's say, for 5e, you can't really fault it that much. I mean, some of the music's a bit repetitive, so you might, if you're going to play for a lot of it, you're going to turn that off. But it's actually pretty, sorry, it looks great as well.
The robot design was pretty cool.
Yeah. It's just, initially I wasn't too sure how much it cost, and I was like playing through kind of going, well, this is a bit bland. But then, it is just like a score attack shooter, and for, say, I thought it was going to be like 15, 20 quid, and I was like, that's kind of asking a bit much, but then a 5 for it. Great price for just a simple score attack game that happens to be a space and mech game.
From what I saw, it's obviously in the same genus as things like Tachyon the Fringe, Conflict Free Space, and Freelancer. It's very much a space shooter, just with this added element that you can transform into the mech.
Yeah, you can't stay in the mech all the time because whenever you're in there, it actually uses up your flux meter. And apart from, there's a couple of bonus rounds where they just send in tons of enemies and you've got an unlimited flux meter.
Oh, is the thing that runs the flux meter the flux capacitor?
Now you get flux from destroying enemies and like shooting debris and stuff. So
Back to the Future would be a very different film if that's how they charged it up.
Very different, yes. Not on banana peels. Or is that 2?
That's 2.
Yeah.
Gets the Mr. Fusion.
Close enough. But no, I mean, yeah, it's pretty good fun if that's what you're after. Just know what you're going to get going in. I mean, had they sort of put in like a mild story element, I'd have probably felt a bit more compelled to play through a bit more.
So there's no single single player element story wise at all.
Nah, it is just
get out there and fight.
Yeah, go out there, beat waves. I mean, you can do stuff like you can actually, as you go through, you earn like more money and stuff, and you can like hire in extra fighters to help you out. So I'm guessing as like the waves progress, you're going to get bigger and bigger enemies because there's some ships that start coming up that are like just covered in turrets, and you get anywhere near it and your shields just get massively depleted and stuff. So there is like a little bit of extra elements like that. So I mean, if you're interested, it's more than worth it, I reckon, for a fiver.
Yeah, good on you, Steam.
Yes, you've been watching some Code Geass, haven't you, Rebecca?
I have been watching some Code Geass. Yes, you put me off now.
We're leaving that in.
And that was pretty much what happened. I think it was either the first or second time I went to Japan, and I was just coming around and going, Geass? What? They can't have that as the second hard word in the title.
I've seen weirder anime.
Code Geass is a giant robot meets Death Note series. I think that would be the best description of it.
That is a collision between the two.
It is about a man or a boy called Lelouch, and it turns out he is the son of the Emperor of the Britannian Empire. This is the turn-up reality where the British Empire has taken over quite a lot of the globe, including Japan. The Emperor has a load of children, which he pitches against each other, one of whom is Lelouch, who he's kind of disowned at this point. So Lelouch is living in Japan and going to school and trying to plot his revenge. He's just sort of angsting about until he runs into a girl and she grants him the power of the Geass, which means he can compel anyone to do anything once. I think it's probably based on the Celtic Celtic mythological power of the guys, where people had the power to compel anyone to do anything, but they could only ever do it once. Lelouch can do it more than once, but he can only ever do it on a particular person once. So the whole thing's kind of got the Death Note style thriller aspect, where he's trying to climb his way up in power using the Japanese resistance to try and get his revenge, and he's kind of working out how to use his power, how it works, and the Britannian Empire is trying to stop the rebels, not knowing that he's actually still alive, and he's directing the rebels. Also robots.
Yeah, big nightmare frames.
Yeah.
That look really cool.
I must say, the thing that makes it most like Death Note is, of course, that much like Light, he has plans within plans that only reveal themselves upon fruition. It's very much the same kind of style.
And there's the whole theme of power corrupts. Lelouch holds himself away from the Britannian family He looks after his sister Nunley, who was injured when he left the family. Their mother was killed, which was the whole catalyst for him leaving. And he sees himself as a good person, different from his evil family, but he's still a prince of the empire and he was raised as such. So there's the whole, again, Death Note style power corrupts thing, where he's trying to balance his upbringing and the power that's kind of awakened his upbringing with his desire to... His excuse for the whole thing is he wants to create a world where his sister can be happy. And that's his justification for everything he does.
Bar a ball pit, it would work on me.
There's also the fact that one of the lead fighters for the Britannian Empire is his old childhood friend as well.
Yes, there's a big conflict with him. His childhood friend is Japanese. He was the son of the Japanese Prime Minister when they got taken over. And he's kind of reacted to the whole situation in the opposite way of Lelouch, where he wants to succeed within the Empire because he wants to change it from within. And he's kind of almost got a Stockholm Syndrome style thing where he's really, really loyal, which is opposite to Lelouch, who's obviously Britannian. But he hates the whole empire because they basically he feels they abandoned him and his sister.
Yeah, that's a really good series.
Yes, and I've been watching series one. Series two is out in the UK as well on Blu-ray and DVD.
I do need to get around to buying those at some point.
Yes, you really do.
Well, I have seen them all, so.
Blu-ray.
Yeah, that would look pretty sweet, actually.
Yeah. Those nightmare frames were very well animated.
Well, they were all CG, weren't they?
Yes, they were.
So it's sort of like an intercut between.
It was very. It blended quite well. Sometimes it's quite obvious, but this one it actually looked like part of the show.
Yeah, in fact, much as I hate to say it, Infamous Stratos didn't blend the two very well.
Yeah.
Some fairly jerky CG going on there.
Also, it's got some known character designers, hasn't
it? Yes, Clamp did the character designs. You can see some of the characters are very, very typical Clamp, some of them aren't, but you can see it kind of in all the main human characters.
There's a lot of Bishies in there.
There's a lot of Bishies.
I think it's the second season that's got like all their artwork. That's just what the end credits are over. Some of that stuff looks great.
They did an art book. I really wanted it.
All right.
I've got to buy it.
Next time you go to Japan, then.
Yeah, if it's still in print.
Well, no, but you've got to remember stuff like... what's some of them second-hand shops? There's e-books Mandarake, yeah. And it's not like a second-hand shop over in this country. Japanese seem to take care of their stuff.
Much better than we seem to.
I picked up quite a few stuff in the second-hand, for like old comics and stuff, or old manga and that, and they look pristine. Except for the DVDs I picked up.
Hmm.
So, you never know, you might get it sometimes, like.
I shall keep looking. Either that or get one of these specialist book tracker downer people to get it for me.
Yumiko Redman?
No. If you look on Amazon, there are companies that specialise in tracking down rare and out-of-print books.
Alright.
Or you could just look on the otaku.co.uk website.
Or I could just go to the Yellow Pages and look for Fly Fishing by J.R. Hartley.
And now for a review, Majestic Prince.
Ah yes, Majestic Prince. It's not a Bishy show as it might sound. It is, in fact, a mech show set in space.
Free for space.
Space.
Humankind has expanded and adapted and mined asteroids in, what we assume is getting towards the outer solar system. Unfortunately, they've come up across an alien race called the Wulgaru, who are basically genocidal.
And not the alien version of Vikrims from Shooting Stars.
No.
Not Jovian lizards.
Jesus Christ, you two are a pain in the ass. Anyway, at the start of the series, there is a space station based on an asteroid called Undyne Base that's under attack. Now, what we're going to throw in here is some cadets from the Military Junior Pre-Academy, or MJP, who are genetically modified for work in space. And unfortunately, the only available squadron are known as the Fail Five, because while they're exceptionally talented, they're incapable of working properly as a team. There's Izuru Hitachi, who wants to be a hero.
And sells electronics.
He's into manga. He pilots Red Five, which is an all-rounder mech. And he has been assigned the leader of the squadron, although none of the others can particularly ascertain why.
Yeah.
There's Toshikazu Asagi, who pilots Blue One. It's an attack frame, although the stress is causing him severe stomach upset. There's Tamaki Irie, who is basically the Mikaru of the squad. She's a bit of a dit. She pilots Rose 3, which is the booster module, and she basically falls in love with every guy she meets and
treats her kind of kindly.
Yeah. There's Kei Kukimiya, who, as of, well, episode 4, which is the latest one I think we're all up to, there's not much to say about her. She's very stoic. She basically calls everybody idiots. There's not
much... Well, she was the one that sort of hung back and kind of coordinated stuff in the first two episodes.
Yes. But apparently she's very good at making sweets.
All right. That has yet to come up.
That has. And there's Ataru Suguya, who pilots Gold 4, which is a sniper unit. He's a bit of a military geek. And when I say he's a bit of a military geek, he's a huge military geek. Now, they've all been chosen to pilot these frames because they've had their DNA implanted in them. How, we don't quite know.
Yeah, a bit of a weird thing, but...
Being that they're robots.
Yeah, I don't know, they may have been collecting tissues from their various rooms. But they've been incorporated in something called the Julia system, I suppose it'll be called when they translate it into English. Named after the person who invented it. Which bases itself on their subconscious responses, so they're basically the fight or flight reflex. Which can either cause them to fight really hard, or it will rebel against them and try and run away.
Yeah, I've got a feeling that there'll probably be a few episodes in the middle of the season where that kind of either comically plays up or gets them into real trouble.
Yeah. Of course, because they're the Military Junior Priam Academy, they're called the MJP, and that's why when it's shown on TV that they save a load of people in the first episode instead of running away, they're calling them the Majestic Princes.
Yeah.
Bit of a reach there, but...
You'd think as they all speak Japanese, they could think up something a bit more inventive, but, well...
It's one of those things that kind of like someone puts out a name and it sort of sticks.
What should we call that man swinging from building to building? Let's call him the Spider-Man.
That's Bruce Campbell that gave him that name. So many comic book nerds, if they were listening, would be like,
"Nah!" So some of the things to take away from this is it's not quite your standard mech anime. For instance, fired away from the main ship, is they have sort of repair bays, because these mechs get damaged. They're not indestructible like sort of standard 1960s.
Yeah, which is really nice.
And the media and social networking play a big part in this, because there's a lot to do with the public image of the unit.
Yeah, they're almost put out like a pop band.
They are. In fact, their direct leader at one point is called their manager, and didn't like that very much.
She got angry.
Well, there's all sorts of scenes where they do press conferences and then there's comments streaming across the screen like Nika Nika Doga.
Yeah, it's kind of that and crossed with Facebook.
Yeah. So, no, real interesting show.
Yeah, there's a lot of promise in that.
I wouldn't take it too seriously. There are a lot of inconsistencies. Like, they're meant to be a secret military organisation
that's on TV.
Press conferences. Yeah. But it's some good ideas there. I think I like the idea of the social media and their perception in the public reflecting.
And I think it not only reflects on them, but I think it reflects on their mental state as well. So if people think, oh, you're rubbish, it kind of affects
you. And
that's where
the Julia system will kick in, as part of them. Like, when they first get into it, because they've been only practiced on, in the first episode, they're only practicing on, like, dummy robots.
Yes.
And when they actually get into one with this system, half of them can't control it initially to start off with, because they're like,
it's
your subconscious.
It wants to go, because they think, there's a load of enemies over there. Screw that.
So, yeah, no, it's definitely one I'll be keeping an eye on.
Yeah. And that's Majestic Prince for you.
And what are we putting in the Hall of Fame this episode?
I think we'll put in Full Metal Panic.
Well, I suppose we should go, we're also putting in Fumafu and Second Raid, really. So Rebecca's already like, I don't care.
So tell us about this Panic of Full Metals.
Not to be confused with Full Metal Alchemist, this is completely different.
It's the story of a teenage mercenary called Sosuke Sagara, who's basically been fighting all of his life, who gets placed in a Japanese high school to protect a girl called Kaname Chidori, who is said to be one of the Whispered. And at the onset, we don't really know what that is, but we know they're very special. So he's placed in an apartment building across the street from her apartment,
where he's with two other people that can place the balance on her.
Kurtz Weber, a sniper, and Melissa Mao, who is their commanding officer.
Yes.
Unfortunately for Sosuke, he's placed in her high school class, and as he's been a mercenary all his life, he doesn't really fit in.
Yeah, he doesn't know how to act natural.
No.
He's just full-on military-brained or not.
So he gets caught taking a gun into school, I believe it was a Star AEG, and he's constantly trying to protect Kaname against perceived threats that don't actually exist.
Yeah, to the point of even knocking a teacher down the stairs. That's a pretty early on one.
However, Kaname is kind of wise to his antics, and his initial attempt to join the girls' softball team...
End in failure.
Well, it ends up getting handcuffed to a chair and kicked down a set of stairs. And this dynamic is how it all begins. The setup is that there is an organisation that wants to kidnap Kaname for her power as a Whispered, and it's against his organisation called Mithril, operating out of their submarine.
The Tepedunan.
Right.
They've got this really high-powered submarine that's awesome.
Called the Tuatha De Danann, which is based on, again, Celtic mythology. And it's the initial thing is the struggle between him trying to fit in and her trying not to kill him.
My favourite one is when he's following her home from school one day, so she fakes getting on the overground.
Yes.
And so right at the last second, she jumps off while Sasuke's on there. And so he jumps out of the window back onto the platform. And when she questions him, he's like, "Meh, I just felt like not getting on this train." That's as good as he can come up with, because he just doesn't understand normal school life or anything like that. As I say, he's grown up on the battlefield. All he knows is basically killing. I mean, there's other people that would be more suited to it, like Kurtz, who you mentioned, who's like the blonde-haired pretty boy, but he's too old to go into high school.
And it would be really wrong, because he's such a perv.
Yeah.
Now, of course, we should really mention that interspersed with this is in fact that they are, of course, mercenaries, and they fight in giant mecha called AS.
Yes. And Sasuke has a special one.
He does.
Called the Arbalest. I know you know the code name before it, but I don't.
ARX-7.
And it's a special mech fitted with the Lambda Driver, which is kind of kept a secret for most of the series.
Yeah, it's working as kept a secret, but I think the general idea is that it converts... the strong neural impulses of a pilot into actual physical power. So if you imagine a shield, a sort of virtual shield appears in front of the mech.
Yeah.
But there's only a certain number of people that can actually use it. And one of the enemies in the series has chemically altered a child so that they can actually utilise the Lambda Driver.
Yeah, that's in the Behemoth arc, yeah. Isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. That's a really cool arc.
It really is.
Yeah, no, so the first... anime series just before Metal Panic is made up of, what, 3 main arcs?
Yep.
Yeah, because there's the one at the start, which just almost introduces the character. Obviously, Chunin then gets kidnapped. Sasuke goes and gets her. Goes for her. There's the one in the middle, which...
The A23 with the Behemoth arc.
Yeah. There's one other one that was made especially for the anime, where Sasuke goes back into a war field with some other stuff.
Yeah, that's kind of a bit of filler, though, really.
It's filler, but it's not bad filler.
No,
I mean.
It's great.
And then...
The final arc.
Final arc, which is the second book?
Yes, it is.
Because whereas this is based on a series of Japanese light novels, where a lot of Japanese light novels will get split into really small books, whereas when Tokyopop were putting them out, shame no one else is putting them out since Tokyopop's gone under, but we got them as like one book per story,
yeah,
which actually was really good. Made for better reading. You didn't sort of like stop halfway through the story.
Yeah.
But then... there is also several other Format Panic series.
Yes, there's a spin-off of the first called Fumofu.
Yes, which does make sense once you start watching the show, because it's the catchphrase of the weird cuddly character that Kaname has set on her bed.
Yeah, it's Gonta-kun.
Yeah, Gonta-kun. That's
which is a homage to Gonta-kun, which is a Japanese, basically, Mickey Mouse.
Ah, right, I didn't know that one. Yeah, and if you're eagle-eyed... Gonta also turns up in Lucky Star on Kagami's bed.
He turns up everywhere these days.
Yeah, well, because they're both done by Kyoto Animation.
Yes.
So. Just say that Gonzo, the first series, the just Format Panic, back when Gonzo were kind of Gonzo and they were this like anyone would watch anything by Gonzo because it would look amazing because they had the money behind them. And it was, wasn't it shortly after Full Metal Panic that they started to not get the funding because their parent company started going downhill?
Yes, it was a troubling time for anime.
Which is a shame because then actually, Full Metal Panic, the spin off, and then the proper sequel, Second Raid, were both done by Kyoto Animation.
Who were basically an unknown.
Yeah, no one knew who Kyoto Animation was. When Fumifu came out, they'd like worked on a bit of Inuyasha and a couple of other things. And were basically, as you say, they got no pedigree behind them. But they really pulled it off.
Second Raid was absolutely beautiful.
So actually, a lot of Fumifu looks really good. Because Fumifu is the comedic version of it.
It's all the funny bits of Full Metal Panic that got taken out, apparently, that was kind of...
Yeah, there is stuff that it was, a lot of it was still written by
Shoji Kato, yeah.
Who since then has worked with Kyoto Animation on Kyoka as well. And so, yeah, they took the more comedic elements. Like, the very first episode is that Sasuke's forgotten he was copying some of Chidori's homework. Yeah. And so they have to go back in lunchtime to go and get it. But because they're, like, riding a bicycle at, like, 50 miles an hour, they get the police after them and all sorts of things. And have to get on a like jump a bus and a train or something.
And then they eventually end up jumping off a set of stairs, but then backing off as the police car goes hurtling towards the ground. Great fun.
It's a great one. There was also a couple other ones developed specifically for that show where there's an episode quite late on in the series called The Goddess Comes to Us or something where Tessa goes and stays with Sasuke, which obviously annoys Chidori because Tessa is the leader of Mithril.
I believe that was actually done as an OVA, but... just prior to the second raid.
Well, it's in for Mifu.
Oh, bollocks. Either they've done it twice or I'm wrong. I think I'm going to go with the second.
Well, for Mifu did have a complete episode removed from air in Japan because there was an episode where, in retaliation to Chidori being kidnapped, Sasuke kidnaps the really younger brother of the clan leader. And it was right around the time where something very... like that happened in real life in Japan, in Tokyo.
Hmm.
So in respect for what actually happened, they actually cut that out. And because a lot of Mufu is like 12-minute episodes, there's quite a few that are like split episodes. They had to cut out another half episode, which is the great one where for some reason the kitchen staff gets sick. So Sasuke and his friends take over.
They don't get sick.
Yeah, well, you know where I'm going with this.
Sasuke goes... Rambo on them as usual.
Well, no, it's the gym teacher that's trying to get back at Sasuke that then, because they're operating the food, he tries to get back at them, and Sasuke's got several preventative measures.
Yeah.
And so those two episodes were removed from the overall Japanese broadcast.
That's a bit of a shame, but well, hell, we've got it on DVD.
Yeah, they were reinserted for the DVD releases, so. All is good. And then we get on to Second Raid as well.
Now, how much can we talk about the Second Raid without it being spoilers?
Not much. We can just say it's a proper sequel to the original Full Metal Panic. That it's got comedic moments, but it is more set in that proper Full Metal Panic vein.
Yes.
Not for Mifu.
It can be very serious at times. In fact, quite deep.
Especially later on when certain things start happening. Obviously, can't mention too much because it's too late on to start talking about, but there are, because it actually moves a lot of the action to China, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
And various things happen, and as you say, it was one of those ones where I decided rather than watch like an episode like a week or whatever, I actually just saved up the episodes and just watched them all at once.
Yes, it's a good thing to do.
Yes.
As we can't say too much about it, suffice to say, if you've seen the first Full Metal Panic, and it is great, you'll love it. You'll watch for Mofu, and you will have no choice but to watch the Second Raid as well.
Yeah, it's if you really do like mechs, and because it's a bit of an older show, probably gone a bit under the radar recently. So,
yeah,
if you come into it or come into anime a bit more recently, and you like mechs, it's really good. It's also just a great show, anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've got some little small topics of conversation we decided to have, and first one: what is the last series you really got into?
I quite enjoyed Kokias, but that's something I review. I think the last series I really, really got into was Death Note, but manga over the anime.
Oh, right, yeah.
Because I wasn't really expecting it to be that good, but then once I started reading it, I just kept wanting the next volume, and it was really hard to wait for them to come out.
Yeah, sometimes Viz have really bizarre release schedules. Mm-hmm. I know Hayato Mikotoko, it's literally every 6 months. And it's like, this is a weekly manga out in Japan, so like every 3 months they're getting a new volume, and we get one every six.
Well, Bakuman, they've been doing, like, so every so often they have a volume come out the next month, and then they have a massive gap, so I'm waiting for the last volume of that series, and it's not out till August.
So, what, they've actually finished the
It's going to be, yeah, it's the last volume of the series.
I got part of the way through the first anime season for that, and just nothing grabbed me in the
I
end.
I didn't like the anime. There's something really weird about it. There's something off. But the manga I really, really like.
Maybe at some point I'll give the manga a try, but I need to finish off a few more of the actual ones I'm reading at the moment. Spike?
Oh, I know we've talked about it before, but Mother Love Alternative Total Eclipse. I'm totally hooked on that. It's a brilliant series.
Another one? What a surprise. Girls and Mechs. So, those of you keeping up with the drinking game at home, so we've got, whenever I mention the Monogatari series or Persona,
yeah,
have a drink, and whenever Spike mentions a show with mixing girls in it, have a drink, apart from the reviews, because otherwise you would drink yourself stupid. And Attack News does not condone that. However,
we do it ourselves.
We are participating as so on me and Spike are, yes.
Please drink irresponsibly.
Technically, it's not an anime, but the last series I've really gotten into is the Zero Escape series.
Right.
The first, it's a series of video games. The first one's on the DS.
Yeah.
Called 999, 9 hours, 9 people, 9 rooms.
Yes, I have heard of that.
Never came out in Europe. I had to get my copy from Canada.
Oh, Canada!
I gotta say, the people I got it from off Amazon were really good. My first copy got lost in the post, and after like a month it didn't turn up, I like emailed them, and then I had my proper copy in 4 days. So they were really good about that, actually. And it's a series where you wake up in a room, you've been like basically abducted by a guy in a weird gas mask and a big black cloak, and you wake up on a sinking ocean liner.
Yeah.
You've got this weird like watch strapped to your wrist that's got a number on it, and it's half visual novel, half point and click adventure game.
Okay.
And so the idea is that once you meet up with the other 8 people on the ship, there are these locks on a door that have a specific number, and the idea is that to get through that lock, you've got to have the right bracelets with it. So they work on this principle called the digital root principle, where if you add the numbers together, and if it makes like a double digit number, then you add those digits together.
Yep.
And then that becomes your digital route. I'm trying to do it quickly, because otherwise I'll just be on it for hours. And so it's also one of these sort of choose-your-own-adventure ones where you can choose to go through different doors because you can make different numbers. And it's a really good game. It gets really interesting. It's say half visual novel, half print and click. There are these really weird, sort of odd, obscure puzzles in the middle of it. But it's a really good adventure story. And then there's also been the sequel recently called Virtue's Last Reward that came out in October last year for the 3DS and the Vita. Sorry, 999 was only for the DS. And this one just, it has a different way of doing the story, but it's with people in this enclosed facility playing through this sort of game of death sort of thing. That, well, rather than having one static number on your wristband, it goes up and down by how you vote at the end of a game. Yeah, you get put together in groups of three, and there is like the group of two and the group of one, and how you vote, ally, or betray your partner works out on how many points you get, and if you get 9 points, you can leave. But then again, it's sort of, the question is, for both of them, it's like, why are all these people together? What's the significance? How does everyone interconnect? That sort of stuff.
Sounds kind of like the film The Cube.
Sort of, yeah, but in a very Japanese-esque way. I've been thoroughly captivated by him. I spent 21 hours on 999 and I've just broken 40 hours on Virtue's Last Reward, so I can fairly say that's what I've been into recently.
It's on my playlist. I'm going to play it if my new 3DS XL arrives.
Alright, have you played 999?
No. I'm going to play that first on my 3DS. I don't want to play it on my DS is getting a bit broken.
Are you going to borrow my copy? Or?
No, my brother's got it.
Oh, your brother's got it as well? Yeah. Oh, sweet.
I'm not going to just demand your game.
No. Or I wasn't sure if you had it or not.
My brother has it. I'm going to borrow it. But my DS is getting really ropey, so I'm going to wait till I get my XL.
Nice.
And if I can turn myself away for Animal Crossing, which might be difficult since it's built in,
Oh, it's built into.
I'm getting the Animal Crossing 3DS XL.
Oh, right. I didn't know that actually came with it preloaded.
Yes, it comes with
it. Oh, that's actually pretty cool.
And it's got Animal Crossing design on it. But I'm only getting it because Savvy messed up on the price. And so as long as they honour that and ship it.
Oh, did they like massively under?
Yeah, they took 120.
And it should be
189.99.
Oh wow, that's a significant difference.
So I got straight on that.
Mm. So give me a call if you ever need to be taken to detox, because I remember Animal Crossing.
It's a dangerous game.
It is.
I've never tried it. I've seen my nieces play it on the Wii, and I'm like, yeah, this is probably something I would get into.
It's painfully addictive.
Well, it's one of the only games that used, or the Wii version used Wii Speak. The only other one was Monster Hunter, and well, that's why I've got the Wii Speak on top of my unit down there.
What the f*** is Wii Speak?
It's this tiny little, like, half moon speaker. You can see it. Just lean back a bit and look at the.
I just wondered what the hell it was. I thought it was just a weird thing for the Wii U.
Yeah, no, it's meant to be like a voice chat thing, but for the whole room, not just a headset.
Oh, fair enough.
Well, going from my gaming of Zero Escape, what other games have we finished recently?
I just finished Catherine. I did buy it when it came out, but I haven't had access to my Xbox.
Yeah, no, I've been playing Catherine slowly over the course of a year. Because, as I said earlier, the actual soundtrack to the puzzle levels drives me friggin' insane. Because they're like either bells and goats or screaming, and that's about it. I have to often put it on mute.
Yeah, I mean, out of context, that sounds doubly weird. It's a weird game anyway. It is part puzzle, part kind of adventure, sort of visual novel-y style game. You have two segments. Segments where you're awake and you're wandering around a bar talking to your friends or various patrons, many of whom got relationship troubles. And when you go to sleep, you end up in a nightmare world, which is this weird block puzzle thing where you have to climb a tower and move blocks.
Yeah, it's... I believe we have spoken about it on a previous one, yeah. No, it's currently... date of recording, it's on PSN Plus, which is probably a really good way to get it if you're a bit intrigued. Especially if you listen to this podcast, you're into that sort of thing anyway, I'd imagine. Yeah, no, I've not quite finished it, but turns out what I thought I was like the twists aren't, so I will have to finish it at some point. It's just a pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, I did get like that for a while, but once I sat down and just did the last few levels, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. Bizarrely, I would enjoy it more if it had all the puzzle elements taken out of it. If it was just a visual novel and walking around the bar, I would love it. And it's, well, shame because, again, time to have a drink. It's from the Persona team as well.
Hooray! Yay! You can't do that. You have water.
Yeah, no, well, hopefully they've gone on to Persona 5, but there's been a bit of issue recently that the company that owns Atlas Index Corporation, not to be confused with a certain magical index.
Indeed.
Has actually gotten into a lot of financial trouble.
They have hit the proverbial skids.
Yeah, so I'm just hoping they can last long enough to get Persona 5 out.
Oh no, I really hope they don't go, considering they make really good games.
Well, they make great JRPGs. I'd prefer Catherine almost if it didn't have the puzzle bits in it. I would have quite happily played it without them, but obviously they needed to put some gameplay element into it, otherwise they... I think they could have gotten away with that in Japan, not in the West. Wouldn't have got localized then, or it would have been just like a simple download game that's just like, look, this is for like the Japanese like fanboys, people like me. What have you finished recently, Spike?
I can't give you any specific titles because they're all really long and annoying, but I've been playing the Big Fish Games series of point-and-click adventures.
Oh, right.
So various storylines, but basically Pookie and Door.
Fair enough.
And I've been replaying Galaxy on Fire 2 on my Mac.
I have no idea what that game is.
Well, you know the flight sim you reviewed earlier?
Strikes at Infinity?
Yeah, less mech mode, but a storyline.
Oh, right.
And there's a trading element to it as well. So it's
a bit more like Elite? Or?
It's another Elite clone. But it's actually very good. Apart from the tablet version, which is basically impossible to control.
Well, to finish up, I recently finished Bioshock Infinite, and that's probably about all I'm going to say because there's so many stuff. If you go on YouTube, there's so much stuff to say about the end of Bioshock Infinite. Personally, few little niggles, but I've got a feeling a lot of those will be ironed out once I go back and listen to all the audio logs again, because the way that they've done a lot of the stuff that ties in so well, I need to go back and sort of play the start of the game again to make sense of a lot of it. I'd say it's some of the combat can get a little bit annoying towards the end, but there are some really fun powers you get, like the Vigors that are like the Platinums from the first game. That is a great combination where you're on these like hovering ships,
mm-hmm.
and you can, there's this one called the Bucking Bronco. It just, once you've upgraded it a bit, like lifts all these people into the air and puts them kind of into a slow-mo element. And then I've got this upgraded one power that's like this water tentacle that just knocks them all. And so they just go flying off the side of this ship just out of nowhere. And it's like, see ya. Great fun. There's a lot of fun to be had with some of the combat scenarios. And so I really like the plot in it as well. So
yeah.
It's very cool. I quite enjoyed the first Bioshock. I didn't quite get what everyone sort of like raved about. But I think Bioshock Infinite probably better, but I think that there's a difference in storyline. The first Bioshock is you're in Rapture when it's collapsing and you're seeing the dregs of that. Whereas in Bioshock Infinite, it's more of a personal story between Booker, the character you're playing, and the girl Elizabeth that you're sent to go and rescue. And so it's a complete different shift in the way like they look at the narrative. And I preferred that as it being more of a personal story. And lastly, we're doing a bit of a giveaway.
Hooray, so if you made it this far, well done, person.
Yeah, all one of you that's listening. So we've got a couple of clear files, one that's a Sword Art Online one and one that's a Magi one. They've both got, from the Sword Art Online one, it's got all the characters from the early arcs, so the first 13 episodes. The Magi one's just got the main three characters sat in front of a pile of gold. I'll put a photograph on the Twitter account.
Should we have a question?
I just think if someone's made it this far, they can just apply for one.
Yeah, we'll draw a name out of a hat.
Yeah, if
Mark... Name.
We'll do that.
Probably the person whose name's actually in the hat.
It'll just be Scott.
Yeah, no, so if you want to... We'll do like a name out of a hat sort of situation. If you want to go in for these, either send us an email at...
podcast@attackingnews.com.
Or you can send a message to us on Twitter at the Tech Newscast.
Or you can send a self-addressed stamped envelope to Buckingham Palace. It won't do you any good, but it's good for a laugh.
Yeah, you can try that. Yeah, so if you want, I will put endeavour in the next couple of days to put a photograph of these up on the Twitter account if you want to see what they look like. We'll give it to the end of June. That gives us enough time. That should give people like a full month to enter. People that want to enter, send your name to that one. We'll put a name out of a hat, and then you can win one of these fantastic prizes.
I think that's all from Otaku News. If you've been playing the drinking game, please wave to your paramedic as you're having your stomach pumped. Other than that, from me, Spike, good night.
From me, Rebecca, adios.
Sayonara from Colin.
Okay, we're keeping that as an outtake.
Yeah, but my ears hurt.